You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you for 3 months, June, July, and August, to take the book of Proverbs. And I'd like you to read the proverb of the day. So on the first, this Saturday, you'll read Proverbs 1. We're turning to Proverbs 1 right now. And then on the 5th, you'll read Proverbs 5. And there's 30 days in June, so on the 30th, you'll read Proverbs 30. Then you're going to go back on July 1st. There are 31 days in that month, is that right? And we'll read all 31 Proverbs. I'd like you to do it every day. I have a program that I began this year with our high school students, and I gave them a sheet that every month they're looking for words that relate to these topics. For example, and I have them all as W's. They're looking for the word wisdom, wise, or one time wiser. It's an amazing thing as we look at the 150 times you're going to find that word. And I've asked them to get highlighters. You can get them at the dollar store or Walmart for a dollar or two. And take a different color for wise. In mine, it's always yellow. And it's an underliner. All through Proverbs, every time it says wise. And then there's the word words. And I've asked them in 1 month to take the word words. For example, words, speak, speaketh, talk, speech, tongue, mouth, lip, lips. It's 267 times this dad says, son, you're going to have to guard that lip. You're going to have to guard that tongue. And that's a different color. And so we have wisdom and we have words. It's been said, if you don't get a child's mouth, you'll never get his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when a brother's saying words like you're stupid to the sister or vice versa, or you're dumb, those are vile words, quite frankly, in a family. Those words need to be stopped immediately. Our words are so important. He tells us what kind of words to have. We're to have pleasant words. And then I've asked the students to look the word walk up. It's the word way, walk, path. It's just an amazing thing. The word women, it's chapter 5, 6, and 7. And that's not a good woman there, but it's chapter 31 is a good lady. And so there's for 12 months 12 W's. But I want to speak to you out of Proverbs 1 to provoke us to think, I'm going to start looking for these words. I've circled every time in the entire Bible, in this particular Bible, the word heart. Yeah, I think it's about 1,300 times. And the word great, I've underlined it in red, double underlined it. It's amazing how great everything is in the Bible, how big it is, how exciting it is, the great God that we serve. And I believe that you ought to mark your Bible. Someone once said, mark your Bible and let your Bible mark you. Now, for some reason, you have a conviction not to write in your Bible. Don't. But to me, this is my textbook. This is my book that God gave to man. And I want to be aware of it. If I see a word and I look it up in a Greek lexicon, I look it up in Strong's Concordance in Hebrew, and I want to get the exact definition of that word so I don't violate that word. And tonight, we're in chapter 1, and I've tried to figure out how to just get us to read a few verses, but let's go at least to, let's go to verse 1 through 16. Let's read it together aloud, please. Remain seated right there. And then if you, on Sunday, I don't encourage you to take a lot of notes. Maybe you do, that's up to you. I want to preach not to your notebook on Sunday, but to your eyes and to your heart. But on this Wednesday night, it's a Bible study. Let's read verses 1 through 16 together. Let's stay together, commas, periods, semicolons. Let's pause at those. Ready? Begin. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David,
to receive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity.
It's so such a joy to hear you read. Tremendous church to stay together and read like that. This has nothing to do with our Bible study, but perhaps you may want to, just on these first page or two of my Bible, verse number 8, my son. Verse number 10, my son. Verse 15, my son. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son. Chapter 3, verse 11, my son. Here is Rehoboam, and here's Solomon, and Solomon's writing to some Rehoboam. Here's a dad that invested in his son. He said, I want to give you every tool, wealth, that you'll see riches and money and silver and gold. There's another W. And he's talking how to handle money. That's your job, to teach that to your children. Are you teaching your children with whatever they get, that they learn to tithe with their money? I imagine you are, knowing this church. Are you teaching your children to save? I mean, have a savings account. If they get $10, and I'm not taking, say, necessarily birthday money, that they have to save all that, but you know. But kids get money nowadays. And if they get a $10 bill, my goodness, $1 is a tithe and a little bit more offering. But they ought to be able to save probably $6 or $7, maybe $8. I have a campaign going on every year with the staff kids. I give them a dollar bill at Christmas. I said, now you grow that. You figure out how to grow your savings account. And it's an amazing thing how our kids generally, when they go to Bible college, not because mom and dad pay, they generally can pay the entire first year about $1,000 a month for 10 months. They've saved that. They ought to. We don't allow our students to graduate, any of our students, Golden State Baptist College, owing us money. Why? I don't want that stranglehold on them. I want them free to go to the ministry. And this dad loved his son, Solomon loved his son Rehoboam so much, he wrote him all the principles of life he needed. But his son rejected it all. We all have a choice. And I love the book of Proverbs. I read it every day, have done it for decades. I just always glean. In fact, I've read it so much, I always try to think, okay, where's chapter 2? It's on this right over here, it's up here, and it begins with, I try to figure out what words, I try to figure out how it begins, I try to figure out what verses do I know in chapter 2, and you're gonna be shocked how many verses you know. You know a ton of verses in the book of Proverbs. And so tonight, I wanna bring one particular word to you as I'm trying to challenge us to get in the book of Proverbs this summer. And I want you to see with me in verse number 2, to know wisdom. And what's the next word? That's the word I want to talk about tonight. And instruction, verse 3. To receive, what's the word? Instruction. Look at verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and what? And verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of a father. I'm not proud of what I'm going to tell you. But when I was in elementary school, I hated it. Until I loved Mrs. Roth in sixth grade. I never enjoyed elementary school. I didn't like it. I wasn't a student that enjoyed school. I went to junior high. I can remember my teachers. I didn't like junior high. I liked drafting. I took that class and learned how to design some things, and I liked that. I didn't like school. I went to high school. I didn't enjoy school at all. I took every shop. I took metal shop and wood shop and electric shop and mechanical shop. I took auto shop, that is. I took every shop. I got out of school at my junior year of high school at 12 o'clock. And every day at 12 o'clock, I went and worked a full-time job, 40 hours a week. I loved work. I enjoyed it. I especially loved of all the jobs I had, the radiator shop, the ice cream shop. I had a lawn business. The thing I loved the most was the grocery store. I loved the grocery store. I kind of thought maybe this would be a great livelihood for me. I just enjoyed it. I remember my boss, Chuck Wall said, "Now, Jack, you're gonna for the next couple of weeks go to El Camino Real in Santa Clara, and you're gonna work at Fry's grocery store. It's a furniture store now." And he said, "That's where you're gonna go. Who'd ever know? There was no Montague out here, but who'd ever know that they were building a building in 62 on Clyde Avenue that eventually we bought? And I became the pastor of that church. I could have driven by there and stopped my car and just watch my dad, maybe in 62 and I had my license yet, but right after that. But I could have had my dad drive me over here. We'd come to see my aunt and I'd watch that thing be built and think, one day I'm gonna pastor this church." Well, you don't know that, but I didn't. So I got out of high school my senior year. I went to my first class, PE. Every year in December, in January, I had swimming first hour outside. Oh, it was terrible, freezing. They'd make you just had a swim shorts on. You didn't have a shirt on or anything. And they made you lay on the concrete outside and do sit-ups. I hated it. And then jumping that and all your feet burned. It was so freezing. That's the only class I had second semester. I went to work at about 10 o'clock in the morning full time. I love work. I hated school. Never to call my dad, said, "Son, you're going to go 1 year to Bible college, the 13th year." Never debated. I just, that's what he wanted. I was going to do it. But I said, in this 1 year I'm in school, I'm going to become a good student. It means I had to take remedial English. I never got it. Never diagrammed a sentence. I didn't care. I wasn't embarrassed. I wanted to learn. I go to class. I'd never been in theology classes and anthropology classes, all those different classes. I never studied to be a preacher because you had to take hermeneutics. I didn't even know how to spell it. Apologetics. I wasn't going to apologize for anything, but that's not what it means. I had no idea what it was. I guess you could say I was ignorant. But brother, man, I loved college. I loved going to class. I loved studying. And they'd give an assignment, and they said, "Okay, here's the paper you have to write this semester." I'd get those papers done way in advance. "Here's a book you have to read." I'd get it done immediately. I'd go to chapel every day, and as soon as chapel was over, I had about 15 minutes between chapel and my next class. I went to my little manual typewriter, and I typed up every message of every preacher that preached. I have all the notes in my, Wilson Newcomb came and preached in college from Minnesota. Brother Newcomb and his wife are laid to rest right over here on Scott Creek Road. He was a professor here in our college. Who'd ever know that when he was teaching me in college, or came and preached in college, he'd be a professor here. I was preaching last night out of town, and a man came up to me and said, I'm from Rosemont, Minnesota, originally. And I pastor here in Montana. And he said, I'm from Dr. Ed Nelson's church. I said, "Dr. Ed Nelson, I've got the notes." He came in 1969. He preached the four chapters of Book of Jonah. He said, "Okay, Jonah is the chapter one, prodigal prophet. Chapter two, the praying prophet. Chapter three, the preaching prophet. Chapter four, the pouting prophet." That was 1969. I didn't have to look that up. I have it all typed out. I remember it. I began to love school. I began to love to read. You know what God was doing in my heart, Colonel? The rest of my life. 1969 to now, 55 years. That's all I do all the time. I study all the time. I read all the time. Amen. I'm just so very grateful for. I love study. I love reading books. I love reading this book. I love trying to find things in here that can speak to me, that I can speak to you. I love studying. Amen. I love instruction. I love being taught by people. You know, if you're in the computer field, I probably have asked you questions. Because I want to learn. Brother Joel allowed us to go to Adobe where he works. And I flew over that this morning coming in here. And I looked at that place. I don't know anything about computers. But I walked around there looking at everything. Asking questions. How does this happen? I like to watch where the Andy Gong with electricity. I'm scared to death of electricity. I guess that's a good thing. You ought to be scared to death of it. Brother Carl Harder, back to you. You had that 57 Corvette. You drove it for years. I waited probably 40 years before you restored it. I'd come to your house. Did I ever go out to that workshop and look at that car? I could spend all day looking at that thing. I'd ask them questions about that thing. How did you do this? What did you do here? I want to learn all the time. I want to talk to you tonight about this word instruction. And instruction is simply this: allowing someone to transfer to you what they know in every area. I would never want to, I don't want to learn how to bake. But I would think that many of you in this room would want to learn how to bake and then bake just a little bit extra for your dear friend that you love so much. Your pastor and his wife, and always put walnuts in. Oh, that's so good. I wanted you to know, we got a jar of jelly right now. Nancy, I think, made that. Brother Curtis. Man, I'm like loving that jelly, jam, I guess you call it. I love that. Do you know how to bake? Do you know how to cook? And I'm not trying to say, well, I'm not good at that. Well, let's look, get instruction. Someone that knows how to do that, let them transfer what they know. Maybe it be mechanics. Let someone transfer to you. Is it computer? Let someone transfer to you what they know. That's what a teacher does. They're an instructor. And when we transfer something, we're giving direction, we're giving commands. That's what mathematics is. It is just, you work it all the way down to the final number. But you can't skip anything. You have to get it all. I've been in preaching this week, and yesterday morning I preached, and I was the middle preacher of three preachers. I sat there and I was writing notes down. Last night I was the second of two preachers. I was writing things down. I was looking at the scripture. I was underlining my Bible. Why? I want to learn. I want to get a thought from God. Amen. And on top of what the preacher's preaching, I saw so many things last night that I want to implement in my heart and life. I want to learn from a preacher. When the man of God speaks, I don't care how young they are, a lot younger than me, but they have something to give. I want to learn from that person. Amen. Instruction. I think of, and I'll get to where I'm going with this, but I think of instructors, there's teachers, Sunday school teachers. I just believe you ought to go to Sunday school saying, I want to learn something today. I think of parents, you know so much. I'm going to surprise you young people here tonight. Do you realize your parents already been a teenager? They might know what they're talking about. Well, I don't think so. My mother's in her late 30s. She probably forgets. She hasn't forgotten what it was like to be a teenager. Your mother can teach you things. Your dad can teach you things. Your Sunday school teacher can teach you things. A school teacher can teach you things. I think of a coach. Yeah. I know. To have a coach teach you. I think of a boss. He's always griping. Well, why? You take his griping, he's trying to teach you something. To this day, if I'm locked out of a building, I don't see any glass up here, but if I'm locked out of a building, I was taught this in 1965. Chuck Wall said, now Jack, you're coming to work in the summer at 5 o'clock, 4:30 actually. And he said, the door won't be open. So if you knock, we won't hear you. You take a ring. He said, you'll hear that. Whenever I try to get in, they lock me out of this church building all the time. They just lock me out. I don't know, in the offices, I feel like I'm gonna just show up and pick up a paycheck from now on because they don't want me in if I don't have my key. And I'll go there, I'll knock on that window with that ring, not to break it. But I heard that, I figured out that echoes through a building. That's a little thing. But I tell you what, I want to learn about everything. Little things are important. And from a boss, you better thank God you have a boss that wants to correct you the way he wants things. I think of grandparents, how they can teach you. That's what Titus 2 is about. You ought to spend as much time, and I really never had grandparents. But I think it'd be so awesome to sit down. My wife talks about her grandparents, particularly her grandmother was a preacher's wife. And you'd go there, she was a diabetic, and her husband passed away early in life as a preacher. But my wife would go to see her grandma Roland, and she would talk to you, and she in school. She wasn't a executive type lady, a high affluent woman. She's just a good old preacher's wife. Sweet as can be. I recall going to visit her in that senior complex where she was living. Just as sweet as could be, nothing fancy. You have grandparents, call them on the phone. Talk to them, go by the house. I'd go by my aunt's house every day on the way to work my senior year, and I'd stop by there about 10. And I'd spend about an hour. She'd make me a lunch all the time, then something to go. My aunt wasn't a strong, educated woman. I pastored here for many years, Eleanor Stoppy. I tell you what, she taught me how to wash my face. I will say that, and everybody laughs. She said, "Now, Jack, here's a little green bottle of Visohex. I want you to take that to high school." You have got to be. I'm not taking a bottle of Visohex to school. And she said, "I want you to wash your face 7 or 8 times a day. I don't want those blemishes on your face." I said, "I don't have any." She goes, "Good. You're going to wash your..." I didn't take her to school. I didn't listen. But I wash my face all the time. Wish you'd told me about brushing teeth. I didn't know you had to do that. But nonetheless... You know, the Bible is parents and grandparents and teachers and coaches and the Bible and books. Are we a know-it-all? No one's going to teach me. Who can give you instruction? I want you to follow with me quickly today. I'm the no instruction. Would you just follow with me if you will? The Bible says to know wisdom and instruction. It's up to you to know, to learn about it. And it's up to you, verse number 3. The Bible says you're to receive it, to give instruction and wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. You're to receive it. You're to take it. My mother's always against me because she's trying to teach you how to make a bed. Your mother's not against you because she's trying to teach you how to make a bed. Well, my mom's not being fair to me. She's all picking on me. Well, why don't you just obey the first time? You know what she... Yesterday she said, "Make the bed," then make the bed. Amen. You're always late. Your mother or your dad says, "You got to stop this." Yeah, you're always on me. You're hassling me all the time. Obey! How hard is it? Are you going to receive instruction? Are you... Well... I'm taller than my mother now. I don't have to obey her. That's how it works, huh? You're going to be a great father because you already know everything, and you're going to flop because you didn't learn to receive instruction. I look at verse number 7. You can despise instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't like it. We bow up. I don't want that. What a wise father. Son, you're gonna have to deal with instruction. Verse 8, you have to hear it. My son, hear instruction. Open your ears. 2 ears, 1 mouth. Keep your mouth shut and open your ears. Good. God's word is so clear about instruction. I say to us adults, who can teach you or correct you or instruct you or give you direction on any... Yeah, I know. No, you don't. Look what the Bible says in chapter 4. I won't catch all of them tonight. There won't be time. Chapter 4, verse number 13. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all that getting. chapter 4, verse number 13, I'm sorry. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. It's up to you to take, here's someone teaching me something. I need to grab hold of this. It's my job. Look what the Bible says, and you're listening so well. Chapter number 6 and verse 23. Would you read it with me? Chapter 6, 23. And 6:23 discovers, we're talking about reproof. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. For the commandment is a lamp. See, what is to reprove? God's word said to preachers to reprove, rebuke, exhort. Exhort means to encourage, but reprove means you discover error. And reprove and then rebuke means you deal with what you discovered. There's a way, there's a protocol, way to do things. And can you say, when someone reproves you, thank you. Thank you. Maybe a mother, and I know children are out of here, but maybe a mother or dad says, if they were in here, it did not seem like you were listening well. Don't attack. Just did not seem like you were listening well. Oh, yeah, I was listening. Are you certain? Why does it all have to be a debate? Why does everything have to be such an issue? Can someone reprove you? Okay, I'm leaving the church. Say, he reproved me. What's that about? We have a bus director. He ought to tell the bus workers, this is what we do. We have a rule, children never should put their hands out the window. If he would see that, I don't think we do, but if we see that, he ought to go to the bus captain and say, I want you to know, I saw your bus and I saw kids have their hands out the window.
You're after me. 2 weeks later, the Lord worked on my heart. I think I'm going to work in a different ministry.
No, you don't want reproof. The coach reproves you. Your defense is terrible. Here's why you're terrible. You're on the flat of your feet. You need to be on the ball of your feet. You need to be ready to move. But no, you're flat-footed. You're on the heels. You'll never move.
Yeah, he's after me. I'd take you on one-on-one, coach. I could beat you.
Well, you ought to. The basketball coach is old. Brother Houston. Look at chapter 8, verse number 33, please. You're doing so well. Let's read verse 33 together. Ready? Begin. Hear instruction. You see, when you hear instruction, God says you're wise. Chapter 9, verse 9. I love this text right here. Ready? Verse 9, 9, 9. Ready? Begin. Give instruction to them. You see, go back to verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, and rebuke you wise man, he will love thee. If you don't love rebuke and reproof, you're a foolish person. Stupidity is what it is. No one's going to tell me. No. Yeah. Christian, you have so many rules against everything. No, there's protocol. You have to obey. There's certain things we have to do. And consequently, there's people that are responsible. But if you can't take a mother's rebuke, or a father's rebuke, or a coach's rebuke, or a boss's rebuke, it is for your foolishness. You are going to destroy yourself. Amen. How about, I don't know, getting out of time quick. Chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. That's similar to what we just read. You go ahead and keep it. He taught me how to do this. And that's the way to do it. I discovered, and I sent a picture to one of our staff, because I discovered, and it wasn't Brother Padillo, I discovered a pan. We have to have these pans in the rooms where you hang mop buckets, and I'm glad we do. They're built into the floor. And they're very nice, and they come up about 6 or 8 inches, and it was dirty, and the mop was in the pan. You hang a mop up. I, 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 I went to our staff and said, you're going to think I'm crazy. With those big old tall tables we have in the Golden Grill, I poured some Coca-Cola out or some kind of soft drink. I said, you don't wipe it up like this. What you did, you just spread it all over the whole top. You don't come from the inside and work out. You come from the outside and work in, and you try to suck it up first with something. And then you rinse it. And then you begin to wash it with clean water or some type of cleaner, and then you wipe it down. I watch them all the time, not our staff. I watch people all the time. I watch them at a coffee shop. It gets bigger and bigger. That's a case of the stupid. Someone never taught them. Never taught them. You got to learn how to do things. I'm having a good time. I don't know if you are, but... Chapter 12, verse number 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. You know, Brother Langston, I learned that in college. I went to college as dumb as a rock. I really did. I knew how to obey. I just didn't like school. I hated school. And I'm suspicious of these kids that love school. No, it's a different thing. Our school is so amazing. I think I'd be so far ahead if I could been in a school like that. But the Bible says, if you love it, I love instruction. I honestly loved it when Mr. Welsh, they opened up for the first time in Fremont's history, a place called Baskin-Robbins, 1967. And I got a job there. He worked over here at IBM, the spacecraft, we were just talking about that over here in Sunnyvale. He worked there, and Lockheed, and he bought this store, and man, I tell you what, I just enjoyed it. He taught us how to do things, and he taught us how to, I loved it. And then you get to eat ice cream every day, 3 scoops. Man, I love that. I'm going to get a job there real soon again. But don't you love to be taught? My dad was so incredible. He taught me. We worked on cars together. It's an amazing thing how much I could not rebuild a car now, but I owned, my wife never believes this story, but I had 10 cars in high school. Not buy a car. I got my first one, a 49 Chevy for free. A guy, Brother Knapp, gave it to me. And then I bought a 54 Ford for $25. And I had a 54 Studebaker and a 54 Chevy and a 54 Ford truck. Thank God when I became a man, I put away those old Ford trucks, Brother Bill. And I had other cars. And I guess what you call it today, you flipped them. Sometimes I put a new paint job on one. I bought a station wagon, Mercury. I put a paint job on it and sold it. And I remember taking the heads off of those and taking them to auto shop. And grinding the valves and seating the valves and putting them in there and then putting rings in a car. I knew how to do that. And I rebuilt a carburetor. I rebuilt the water pump. I knew how to do those things. I wouldn't know how to do it anymore. I tell you what, my dad would teach me. My shop teacher, he built a car in shop class. It was a project for over several years. And I'd go by and see that, like a model a race car T something, I don't know what you'd call it, big old motor out, exposed. I learned just so much by watching them. I love being instructed. Amen. I love being instructed by this book. I love being instructed by preachers. Amen. I love it. I love it. I want it. I love being instructed by books. I'm learning all the time. Chapter 15, verse 5. Let me give you 2 more, and I'll try to wrap it up in the next 2 hours or so. The Bible says in chapter 15, verse number 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. A fool. God says, you don't listen to your dad, you're a fool.
I know more than him, I'm 13.
No, you're a fool. That's what God's word says. Dad knows more than you do. I want to tell you something. I have more education than both my parents. They didn't have any college degree. I have a college degree.
I got it in 3.5 years instead of 4. And to my shock, I had 2 majors and 2 minors. I never even knew I was getting all that. I just kept taking classes. And when I graduated, they said, Jack, you got 2 majors and 2 minors in 3.5 years. I was taking everything I could. I loved it. I was learning. And I want you to know, that yes, I have more degrees than my parents. But I tell you what, my parents had such wisdom. And they knew God. When we were married, my dad and mother were celebrating their 25th anniversary. They had 25 years head start on us. I think he knew a little bit more about marriage. It's an amazing thing, especially my dad, more than my mother. My dad, we would have we'd go see him. My dad always took my wife's side. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Simmons. You know how that works, right? The father-in-law is always on your side, right? Sure. But my dad said, no, son. I said, Dad, you're not even listening to me. And he goes, oh, I'm listening. No, you're wrong. And even when I was right, I was wrong. I was always right. No amen on that. 16:22. Understanding is a wellspring of life, but to him that hath it, but instruction of fools is folly. And then I'll give you one more here, 24, please. 24 and verse 1, let's read, this really sums up what lack of instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. God's word is saying, you don't listen, you're going to have poverty in your life. Here's what most or many people do. And I think our church is a great exception. Most people debate instruction. They despise instruction. They turn a deaf ear to instruction. They dismiss it, reject it, I don't need it. And they disdain it. You can't tell me. But how do you gain instruction? One, I hope you'll get these couple L's. You look for it. You observe it. You get your eyes open and you observe instruction. Your eyes should be open. My eyes should be open. Be inquisitive that all time you're looking. Look at everything. And secondly, listen. Not only look, but listen. Thirdly, learn. Be a hungry learner. Read books. Read manuals. Read these computers that teach you how to do things. And then live to learn the law of God. Learn this book. Yeah. I've asked the man, I do it every service. I did it tonight and took several sections tonight, but I have a section on Sunday. I come from Sunday school, stop by my ready room, always have prayer. And then I come out. And I took a whole entire section. I do it every week. Done it ever since we moved in here, August of 17, 18 years ago. And you know that entire section? The vast majority were adults. It's 3 minutes to 10:30. I know I'm not giving you the right number because it's a lot more than this, but I know that 60%, maybe 70 or 75%, were all on their phones. Every single one. I said hello to one lady, said hi, and she was on that phone. She couldn't even look up. I greeted someone else, they're on that phone, they didn't even acknowledge I was there. I don't think you come to church and 3 minutes before the choir comes in, you can have your heart ready by being on your phone. Right. And I'm just giving you some instruction. I don't believe you ought to, I know we have our phone for emergency or something. I don't believe you ought to be on the phone during church.
Amen.
I mean, this is God we're talking about. We're coming to meet with God. And if you cannot be off your phone, I'm watching this. They're on their phone. I'm preaching. I mean, I've prayed, I've been up at nights, I've been up in the mornings, I've been studying sometimes for weeks on this subject, and I'm trying to preach, and they're on the phone. To me, you don't want that. A crowd like that doesn't want instruction. I don't come to church and mark the box off. This is the last box of this month of May. So we've got 5 months in. Been able to be every Sunday, every Wednesday. I love that. But that's not just to mark it off. I want to come to, I want to, that offertory you played, it'll be worth it all. I needed that one today. That was such a blessing to me. Those gone kids singing. Was it Rosie was gone? We're probably at work tonight. I'm not sure if somebody was gone. I can't see. But what a blessing they are. Young kids like that would practice and sing for us and for the glory of God. Tonight, can't you put our phone down? You know, in life, and I don't say this to hammer because I'm out of time. You know that in most subjects, you're smarter than I am. I mean, who in America doesn't know how to turn a computer on? Me. I now work on iPad, and I have one I bought for home and one here, and I like it. I like to study with that iPad, look things up. I have no idea how to do the internet. I get emails, and they always print them out. I hand write emails back, and then somebody has to type it for you. Talk about a case of the stupids. Oh no, you're much smarter than I am. I know that. And I know this is going to sound proud, but that doesn't intimidate me at all, because I believe that God called me to be a man of God. I believe that. And the older I know I've done the task that God, I think I found it by accident on my part. I didn't know what God was doing. I just kept saying yes.
Amen.
I believe I found the will of God for my life, and I've been doing it for 55 years. It's the joy of my life.
Praise the Lord.
I think you ought to listen to me. Not because I believe, I truly believe without arrogance, oh, you're much smarter than I am. It's sort of like the Bobby Robertson. Bobby Robertson went through eighth grade, as far as he got to go. Then his daddy died, a preacher at age 39, and he had to go work in the farms and the tobacco fields. But that church that was filled, 35, 36, 38, 3,900, 4,000 people, he had such intelligent people there, and pilots and doctors and lawyers and nurses and executives. And they sat at his feet as he preached the word of God, and the place was packed. And Brother Bobby, and I would never be rude toward, he would say instead of twice, he would say twice. It's twice. Or once. For once. Once. But I'll tell you what. I don't care if he had an eighth grade graduate. He was a man of God. And I every time he preached, I got something. I believe you ought to listen to the pastor because he's a man of God. I hope he is. Secondly, because of experience. Laban said of his son-in-law, Joseph, I have learned by experience that God hath prospered me because of thee. I know something about life. You're trying to be a teenager, I've been there. You're trying to be a college-age student, I've been there. You're trying to pay a bill, I've been there. You're trying to be a young couple married, I've been there. You're trying to be a parent, I've been there. You're trying to let your kids grow up, I've been there. We've been there. You're experiencing the empty nest, or you will in time, a lot of you will. We've been there. I can teach you how to do that.
Hey, old age, I can teach you that. One thing I teach you, don't talk about it.
Hey, you know, Pastor, my bones are, man, they're not like they used to be.
You're 70 years old. They're supposed to be worn out. God says you live to be 70. That means that hip is to last about 70. Those knees are last to be about 70. Maybe he says in Psalm 90, you can live to be 80. They're supposed to hurt. You've been walking for 70 years all of it. Amen. And then you get old and, you know, you get 75 and we say, what medicine are you taking? And what's you? I'll see you this week in the pharmacy. What's that about? Man, everywhere I'm going, I'm telling people, stop talking about how old you are. Talk about how many aches I have. You sure you have aches? That's part of life. So why don't sleep well at night? Well, duh, of course you don't sleep. Man, have a party. Your wife's asleep. Go down, raid the refrigerator. She'll never know. I mean, there's so much to enjoy in life. Go have ice cream. She'll never know. I'm talking about, I could teach you something about getting old. Older. There's so much that I know you want to, I don't believe when you're raising kids, mother and dads ought to take vacations away from the kids. I could tell you horror stories of kids, parents are, well, the two of us just got to get away to Hawaii. Yeah, and you leave your teenage kids at home, and I can tell you almost every time they messed up. We were talking on the way to church here tonight, and we were just, I'm not saying you have to stay here your whole life. Many get called to the ministry. Many have job transfers or whatever, and that's. But I'm going to hear tell you something. I wish you knew the rest of the story. How so many kids have thrown their kids away because they moved away from a church and a school like this. And I'm not saying. And you know, some cases we have one of the sweetest couples, and I think they're making a wise decision for their life. That's what they need to do. That's it. But we've got now 48 years here plus. I can tell you what happens when you get them out of a good school and out of a good youth group. I can tell you what's going to happen. I can tell you why when I get their graduation announcements from high school. I was preaching with a man last night from a distant state, and I said, hey, some of our members moved there. How are they doing? This was years ago. You have no idea who I'm talking about. He said they came, they were faithful, and left me mad. They divorced. He had an affair. The kids are a mess. You know what? I saw that coming. I knew it was going to come. There was a safe zone right here. I knew some things about him, and he knew that he talked to me about it. I knew where his weak spots were. I could help you with some instruction. Not nearly like you can help me. Because you know all these things. So many things you know, I don't know. But I know something about this book, and I know something about life, and I know something about longevity.
Amen.
I know something about feeling like sometimes you want to quit. I know some things about homesteading, and I know some things about heritage. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, tonight, instruction is so important. And help us to seek out instruction. There's so many people that know more than we do. They can teach us so much. So, so very much. Whether it's academics, science, mathematics, computers, chemistry. Oh, my goodness. They can tell us how to teach us how to have a business, how to be a wife, how to be a husband, how to be a mother, how to be a father. How to be a middle-aged person, how to look toward the future, how to go through difficult times in life and make it. I guess this is one of the hardest things in my life, to watch people reject instruction. I don't want them to, our heads are about, I don't want you to come to me. How do you buy a car? I'm not good at that. How do you sell a car? I don't know. I'm not good at that. I don't know how to do that. There was a time, but I can't do that. That's not good for me. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to tell you how to look things up online. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to go to FaceTime. Our heads are about June, July, and August. Let's give ourselves to Proverbs. Let's find these words. Let's live these words.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.